This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. From annual events like Riverfest to just a typical weekend, summertime brings individuals and families from the La Crosse area to the city's parks. As residents and visitors enjoy these public spaces, some local groups are coming together to update park facilities and make them more accessible. Today, we'll get an update on an all-abilities park planned for Train Park and an addition to the historic bandstand in Riverside Park. Joining us now to talk about these projects are Steve Caroline, Parks Director for the City of La Crosse, Terry Bauer, founder of Moon Tunes and a member of the Valley View Rotary Club, and Fran Formonic, president of the Train Park All Abilities Park Project. So let's start with talking about the All Abilities Park Project that's planned for Train Park. And I wonder, Fran, if you could start by talking a little bit about what is in Train Park right now.
Well, right now there's a softball diamond that's been there for many, many years. There also is a shelter or a building, which next to it is a splash pad for cooling off for the kids. And then there are a few pieces of playground equipment. One of the other areas to north of it on the park project is there's an area for soccer and things like that anyway. But right now the playground itself and the park is very much underutilized. And that's why we ended up choosing that, along with Steve Caroline and his committee, to go to that park.
Yes, yeah, Steve. I wonder if you could talk about, when Train Park was built and kind of what's the current use of the park. Maybe if you know what percent of residents are kind of using that park space.
The park was dedicated to the City of La Crosse by the Train Corporation employees in the 50s, Reuben Train specifically it's named after. At one point, it was probably pretty highly utilized, but it's a very tired park. There's not much out there anymore. The demographics around the area that we found, it's primarily a lot of younger families moving in, so it needs to be refreshed. Originally, the all-inclusive, all-abilities, those two words get mixed up a lot, Train Project was going to go over into Powell. And we had a public meeting, and the clinicians from both hospitals and the folks from the university said that doesn't work. There's too many distractors there. So Train Park is large. It's got the capability to manage not just this inclusive, all abilities, all kinds of people using park. I'm going to use those all words together because everybody confuses them. There'll be some other additions out there, too, in the other parts of the project. One thing I want to make clear, though, is this park is for all abilities. It's ADA compliant, and people use the word inclusive, and there are a lot of inclusive parks around the country and in the state of Wisconsin. There are only 5 parks like this in the United States. It's different. I've never been exposed to anything like this. It has a lot to do with folks that work with people with autism on all of the spectrum, other types of cognitive and physical disabilities, but the key to this park is we want everybody to play together. We don't want to discriminate because of a condition you may have, and it's exciting to be working on this.
Fran, when did this idea first start of creating an all-abilities park?
Well, as far back as 6 years ago, a group of parents with autistic children were talking about a place for the children to play in. At that point in time, because of the fight and flight kind of thing with the autistic spectrum, they ended up going down to the dog park at Huska Park. So they approached the county board or the county to request them to look into having a place for the autistic children, and that also moved over to the city. And that's when Steve Caroline, the director, got involved. I myself was on the city council for 6 years, and that train park project, or the train park proper, was in my district. And so I jumped on board right away to try to get this to, be made and to start it on. So it's been 6 years, and we've really went at it for the last 2.5 years, including the development, the equipment, and now especially the capital campaign to basically build the project.
I want to talk more about how the fundraising is going later, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what is planned for that park space. You know, what are the unique elements that are going to be able to, cater to people of a lot of different abilities?
Well, I think in your question, you have part of the answer. It is the fact that anybody with disabilities of some sort or whatever can play right on the equipment that we're going to be purchasing. A lot of this equipment, in fact, all of it, is specially made by a number of different companies, one of them out of the cities, for example. Our equipment subcommittee has been working diligently for the last 2 years, redefining the idea of what kind of equipment and so forth and so on. If you look at the way that it's put together at this present time, I like to call it like a Disney World kind of concept, where we have 6 to 7 different zones, and some of those zones would be for sliding, for swaying, early childhood. There also is a wellness area, so forth and so on. So the project itself really is all-inclusive, and any kind of person with any kind of disability, cognitive or physical, is going to be able to enjoy the park along with their parents or their guardians.
Yeah, and Steve, you mentioned that this is a very unique setup for park systems in the U.S. I wonder if you could talk about maybe where the city and this group has been looking for inspiration for this park.
As Fran said, 6 years ago, I got contacted by the county, Jason Witt, who handles a lot of the programs for the county for folks that have special needs of different types. And it took a while. I didn't get it. But after speaking with parents over a 6-7 month period and listening and hearing the situations that they have been living, it was obvious to me that this was not just your typical park, not play structures, not the environment, anything like that. So we engaged the services of both hospitals. They're actively involved, from clinicians to occupational therapists to people that work with children and adults on various stages of their development issues or physical issues or whatever they happen to be. That's why, as Fran said, all this equipment is site-specific, tailored. There are areas that deal with the spinning zones, the quiet zones, the swaying zones, and those are being tailored specifically for children, and not specifically for autistic children, but autistic children or other children be able to use it. So the input for most of the planned playground equipment or structures that you have out there are coming from the medical community and the academic community. Both universities are involved, the therapeutic rec department at UWL, the physical therapy program at UWL, the sports medicine program at Viterbo. This will be just not a playground, but it'll be an extension for classrooms so that students that are beginning to develop a career can actually take what they read in a book and take it to a site and actually use it. There are none of these sites available right now. And I also believe it's going to stimulate further growth across the United States for development such as this. At one point, I sat on the National Park and Rec Board, so I called some friends and said, tell me what you know. They talked a lot about inclusive parks for disabilities, specifically in and out, handicap, accessible stuff. Very little information on this, but if you Google trainpark.com, you'll get the picture, and you'll get the story, and you'll see the testimony from parents. As a side note, several years ago on the north side of La Crosse, a family with 3 young children, 2 of them were out playing with their friends, riding their bikes, doing the skateboards. A young girl walked out of the home, went down the street, and walked right into a pool and drowned. Because there is no fear. It's a total different kind of place. I mean, everything about this is different. I'm getting exposed to it for the first time, and I've been doing this for a long time. So it's a special place. It's the right time, and it will make a difference for people in La Crosse.
Why do you say it's the right time for this park?
Because we haven't done anything to date, and very few people across the United States are doing it. And autism and all of these conditions are now in the public sector. They're being talked about. When I was young and grew up, people with disabilities, particularly social or cognitive or mental, were institutionalized. That was the way they dealt with these problems. Today, that's not the case. We feel that every child has the right to play, any child. It doesn't matter what your situation is. And that's why it's the right time. In talking to employers in La Crosse, it's a tipping point. Talking to people at the hospitals when they're recruiting professionals to come in here, one of the first questions, if they have an autistic child, is what is in the area for my child? It's not how much money I'm going to get paid. They're looking for programs. They're looking for opportunities because it's important for the development to get past a certain stage for a child to be exposed to other children. So it's the right time. We should have done this years and years ago. But for La Crosse, we've got half the money. It's a $6 million project. The $3 million has been raised. There's tremendous impetus coming from the business community, from private donors, everybody. Everything from $5 to hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, again, trainpark.com will tell the story, and I think it will tug at your heartstrings when you see what we're going to do.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about two projects planned to update La Crosse area parks. We're here with La Crosse Parks Director Steve Caroline, Fran Fermonik from the Train Park All Abilities Park Project, and Terry Bauer from the Valley View Rotary Club. So now I want to switch gears and start to talk a little bit about the updates that are planned for the bandstand in Riverside Park. So Terry, you know, I wonder if you could talk about kind of what the bandstand looks like right now in Riverside Park. People maybe might be familiar with that facility.
It's in need of repair and restoration, and Steve has started that process, and the cement is eroding. There's rebar sticking out. Electrical work needs to be done. It's really probably not in very good shape. If it was a private thing, it would be condemned. So it's badly needed. I didn't get involved in this until, 6, 7, 8 years ago. They looked at doing something with the bandstand, and Steve's exactly right. Something needs to be done. We're in a area of the Mississippi that's quite unique. And if you look at all the projects Steve's done throughout our park system, I mean, I don't know if a city has the park system La Crosse has. It's phenomenal. And this could be a shining star. Well, it will be a shining star. I mean, the repair restoration drawings that I've seen that have been presented, it's fabulous. It's going to be backlit. It's absolutely gorgeous. So it's something that people are really going to appreciate. And we're working in conjunction with Steve and the city on private money coming to the table to help put a shell over the top. Because right now, if you're standing that stage at noon, you could probably fry an egg in that cement. If there's a little bit of drizzle, you could still have a concert if we had a roof. The concert band in La Crosse would like to have an acoustical roof to help project the sound out as would the jazz orchestra. Riverfest, Rotary Lights, Moon Tunes, Explore La Crosse, all are users of that bandstand today. And we draw, at Moon Tunes, we draw thousands of people every Thursday night. Even when it's raining, people come sit down there, and we have to tell them that we're not going to have a concert because it's raining out. The community has gotten behind Moon Tunes. We have a projected budget, and we have about 20% of the funds already in hand to help put this thing together. I'm a kind of a business guy. I'm not used to working with government bureaucracy, so there's things I'm learning that I didn't know about. And it's been a little bit of a learning curve for me. But we'll get through it because at the end of the day, I told Steve, and Steve knows this, we do things. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to stop till this project is the gem of the Mississippi. When you come down the river, the Mississippi, and see that bandstand shell lit up at night, it's going to just be it's going to be, I think, another one of Steve's national award-winning projects, like Granddad's Bluff was. Mm-hmm. And it's a center point. It's a focal point for La Crosse. If you look at tourists that come to town and you go through the park in the summer and look at the license plates, tons of out-of-state license plates. They go to Granddad's Bluff. They go down to the river. And I think they the community needs that type of upgrade that we're looking at.
Yeah, given the popularity of Riverside Park, I wonder, Steve, how the city feels about having the bandstand in such disrepair in such a very, you know, popular location in the city.
They've been waiting patiently, thankfully. But let's talk about how the people feel about Riverside Park. That's an iconic park. It's known across the country. It's a John Nolan-designed park. Nolan is the most influential person in the park business, studied under, under the greatest people that put parks together over a period of time. The interesting thing about this bandstand or band, it's got a couple different names. It's an Otto Mehrman design. It's, copied after something out of Grants Park. It was in 1932 it was built. It was the Wendell B. Anderson bandstand. A series of significant people from around the world have spoke there. Quite a few artists have performed there. So what we're going to do is totally restore it back to the original drawings. We have the drawings on linen. The Art Deco lights will be replaced. The whole thing will be completely redone. It's structurally coming apart, as Terry mentioned. I mean, there's concrete flaking off. There's rebar showing, the electrical shot. So that bid goes out. The bid has gone out. So we have about $1.2 million, and we hope to start this project the very minute Moon Tunes is done, which I don't know what that date is.
September 6th.
Yeah, so September 7th, we'll start the work on it, because we want to do as much work as we can this construction period. We won't get it all done, but then we start again in the spring as soon as we can. So the goal is to have it open and ready for the public by 1 May. Without any disruption to our concert series, whether it's a symphony or Moon Tunes or the jazz band, any of those. And by the way, I have a hard time saying Moon Tunes because it used to be Noon Tunes. And that's how Terry started it. And through his innovation and creative thinking, he kind of went, well, we're not getting a lot of people at noon. Let's try it, early in the or late in the afternoon. It was amazing what happened. From 400 or 500 people in the park to 3,000 people in the park. And it's just a phenomenal place. It's free. It's a public-owned facility, and it's available. And the restoration is put it right back to what it looked like in 1932, which is going to be super.
And I think Moon Tunes, Steve, has been well-received by the community, all ages. We give free rotary train rides to the children. That's all free. And you look around the crowd every Thursday night, and everyone's just relaxing, enjoying.
I like to see the nursing homes when they show up in the bus. I mean, it's everything from brand new babies.
Yep. Birthday parties.
Birthday parties to grandma and grandpas. My favorite is the Woodstock event. Now they're doing two nights.
Well, this year's just
my generation. Is it one this year?
Okay. September 6th. But we'll have 10 bands.
Yeah.
But you know what I really like the best? We'll have 2,000 to 3,000 people more for at the end of the night. Marty Severson says, hey, if you brought it, take it with you. I clean the park up at night because I got a $100 deposit on with the city. I want my money back. The park is immaculate. People have – it's unbelievable the state the park's in when those people leave.
Terry, where did the idea of creating a band shell, a roof over the stage, come from?
The musicians, all the people that use the band stand. I mean, even if – a lot of weddings are down there. And, if it's a rainy day – if it's a little bit of a misting, they still could have the wedding on that bandstand with the roof. I think if you look around most cities, I can't think of a city that has a band shell that's not a shell. This was an orator's platform. I mean, mm-hmm. It was kind of for speeches, so it's for the community. So we're actually taking another step to make it more user-friendly and with the purpose of that it's transitioned. There's not a lot of speeches going on down there right now.
No, but we got an election year coming up, so you never know.
We could do some speeches. So it's kind of moved from a speaker's platform to a musical entity that's used for, if you were at Riverfest, they use it over noon. The people up there are just baking. And it's usually the military band because they're tough people and they can handle it. But, if they had a little bit of a roof over them, it would be much cooler.
Are there band shells that you guys have looked to for inspiration that you think you know, have provided some thoughts about what you hope this band shell could look like?
Not really, because this is a different and unique situation with it being the platform that it has been with the Art Deco lights. And it's when I first saw the repair restoration, if you haven't seen it, it's phenomenal. It's gorgeous. And I couldn't personally envision a roof over it. I thought, how do we put a roof over this? So this is something unique. I don't think anyone else has tried to do something like this. But Barb and Dave Scogan, I went down to look at their festival store in Madison on Washington Avenue, and they have trees that they repurposed from the city of Madison in a multi-story building, first floor, holding the structure up in their grocery store. And we thought, you know, we got 300 ash trees that are going to be chopped up, or
6,000.
6,000 ash trees? Yeah. I thought we only had 300 left.
Maybe left, but we've done 6,000.
Yeah. Total. So I think there's 300 projected to be. And if we could harvest six of those, we think we have a historic element that's going to fit in. And we've been before the Heritage Preservation Commission to show them our concept. Like I said, I'm a businessman, so I don't have a lot of money in my back pocket. So we didn't go to the commission with plans. We went to the commission with an idea and said, if you like this idea, we'll bring the plans. Because I can't pay what are we spending, $3 million on the center so far in architectural fees? I don't have that kind of money. So we're trying to conserve money but get to the end of what will become, I think, a shining star in the city of La Crosse. And I think tourists are going to flock to it. I mean, I go down there now and kids are playing on it during the day. They're dancing. That moms are down there for lunch. It's a focal point for the city of La Crosse.
That's Terry Bauer, organizer of Moon Tunes and a member of the Valley View Rotary Club, here with us today to talk about renovations planned for the bandstand in Riverside Park and an all-abilities park project planned for Train Park. Also joining us are Steve Caroline, Parks Director for the City of La Crosse, and Fran Fermonic from the Train Park All Abilities Park Project. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Steve, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what the conversation has been like with the Historical Society in La Crosse as you know, you look to this renovation of the bandstand that's already been planned and a potential band shell.
There's a couple of limiting factors on the project itself. It's in a floodway. So that really restricts just about anything we can do. So we've got approval to do a restoration of the existing structure where it's at. We took that concept to the Heritage Preservation Commission last month, and then this Thursday we take the final engineer drawings that are done. So it's an advisory group, but they were very favorable on the concept drawing. This is just going to be the detailed drawings. There are some concerns about, you know, what we can and cannot do that we've run through our engineering department. We've had to coordinate with the DNR. So there's a big process involved with this. It sounds pretty simple to just go in there and do something, but anytime you're in a floodway, it creates problems. But we've resolved all those. They've been very receptive. We've worked closely with them. The significant part of this is it's been declared an historical site by the local group because of Wendell B. Anderson. Actually, the whole park because of John Nolan. So we want to make sure we do our due diligence and keep the community involved and talk about what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. But the beauty of this project, it's going to look just like it did in 1932. As Fran mentioned earlier, or maybe Terry did, you know, we won the best public works restoration project in the United States and Canada. That was Granddad's. We could have put a $300,000 structure up there, but we actually restored it back to the original drawings to include having the shake shingles cut in Canada because they're so thick you can't buy them anymore anywhere. And you can see the result when you go up there. Restoration is important, particularly for historical structures, because once they're gone, you have pictures. We would rather have the actual structures there. But it's going to be a project that the community can stand behind. And Riverside Park means a lot to a lot of people. And I think it's going to be significant when it's done.
You mentioned, you know, recent conversations about expanding the La Crosse Center board. I believe that's what you're referring to, the La Crosse Center into Riverside Park, and how the city council, or the mayor rather, vetoed that decision, and the city council decided not to override that veto. How has that maybe spurred public conversation about the park system and specifically Riverside Park?
A lot. Hundreds of emails, hundreds of phone calls. The understanding of Riverside Park is twofold. One, for those of us that are recent here, I've been here 11 years now, so I see it as somebody that's been here 11 years. But people that grew up here, people who used to go down to the park with grandma and grandpa, people who got married there, it's a piece of the culture. It's a piece of the community. The value of the park, you know, I've heard comments like it's an underutilized portion of the park. I don't know how you measure that. I've never heard that term before. You know, parks are open green spaces. There is no value that says if you get 20 people in here, 5,000 people in here, it's the value of just being able to walk through it. John Nolan, who was the understudy of Frederick Law Olmsted, who developed the first national park, which is Yellowstone, and the first city park, which is New York Central Park, is the guy that designed this park in 1909. He hung out in La Crosse with a guy by the name of Wright. So the whole notion of that park is much more than today, and it goes back generations. And the important part about, for me, is now we know that park's going to be what it is today for generations to come, for my grandchildren, your grandchildren's grandchildren. Riverside Park is different. It's known all across the country. We get 7 steamboats that come up and down there. It's just a significant park on the river, and you have a park on the other side, Pettibone. You got Riverside on this side, and if you go up and down the river on a boat, you know you're in La Crosse because of that park. You don't have to see a sign. So it's going to be interesting to see the outcome of this. I think we're going to have problems down the road with Moon Tunes. I don't know if we can get 5,000 people in that park. It's getting to that point now.
We've added more sound.
Yeah. So it's
because people are spreading out.
People come to the community just to go to Moon Tunes and spend the night here, go to a restaurant, get something to eat, stop in a bar and have a drink. They're coming from the cities. They're coming from Madison.
Can I tell you a story?
Certainly.
Do you have time for a story, Hope?
Sure, Terry.
2 weeks ago, a lady stopped me at Moon Tunes, and she goes, "I love your city." They're from Green Bay. Their daughter went to Winona. They never came to La Crosse, always went to Winona, but they said it's our 9th wedding anniversary. The Charmont is dog-friendly. The park is dog-friendly. She goes, "We go to Green Bay, but we can't take our dogs. We're coming back to La Crosse." That's what the park does. That's what the city's done. And Steve is behind a lot of this. I mean, the ordinances have been changed to make it more of just a great place to be. You can't find a park like this on the Mississippi outside of La Crosse. You know, Dubuque's got the walkway. Red Wing's got levees. Winona's got a levee.
Nobody's got this. The other thing, just to interrupt, they keep saying Steve. It's not Steve. It's people like Terry and Fran. It's other people in this community that step up with ideas and things they want to do. My job's just to facilitate, get the money, get an ordinance change if it needs to be done. We can't do it. We're a small park and rec department with one of the largest programs in Wisconsin. You see Madison and Milwaukee, they're big. They got a lot of parks, but I'm talking program content. Second largest special rec program in the state of Wisconsin is here. So it's the folks of this community that are stepping forward. From Burns Park has got a community group behind it. Riverside Park's got a city behind it. The Fast Pitch League that Fran used to be in, we just hosted the national championship here. So it's not just what happens from the city level. It's what happens from the base of the community level. We're building another ball field. You know, we just finished Powell Park, and people said that ball field that was in there, you know, I used to grow up and I played ball there. Well, today's residents around Powell Park, they don't mind softball, but at 10 o'clock at night with a ball game going with lights on, a lot of beer drinking and cars parked everywhere, not really conducive to people that are raising a family. They're all out at Carroll Field now. And we're bidding the national championship for fast pitch. But again, it's the people in the community that are doing this. They vote. They put representatives in the Common Council. We're very fortunate that we get a lot of support for projects. It's going to get kind of lean here for a while, though, because I'm pretty confident that Mayor Cabot's going to fix the roads in this community. Because if we got good roads, that gets you to a good park. If we got bad roads, you don't get to the park. So,
Steve Caroline, Parks Director for the City of La Crosse, is here with us today to talk about two projects planned to renovate parks in the La Crosse area. Also joining us are Fran Formanek, President of the Train Park All Abilities Park Project, and Terry Bauer, Organizer of Moon Tunes and a member of the Valley View Rotary Club. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on investments in local parks and what the city hopes to accomplish next when it comes to these public spaces. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Parks in La Crosse come to life in the summertime, from individuals and families getting out to enjoy the sunshine to events like Riverfest and Moon Tunes, offering food and entertainment. Some groups in the La Crosse area are working to update some of these public spaces, including an all-abilities park planned for Train Park and a new band shell over Riverside Park's historic bandstand. Joining us to talk about these projects and more are Steve Caroline, Parks Director for the City of La Crosse, Terry Bauer, Organizer of Moon Tunes and a member of the Valley View Rotary Club, and Fran Formanek, President of the Train Park All Abilities Park Project. So Fran, earlier in the show we heard a little bit about what's planned for the All Abilities Park Project, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, how the group has been fundraising for this project. I know it's a $6 million goal. Where are you at now?
Right now we're passing the halfway mark. We did that a couple weeks ago. This would include individual donations, company donations, and what they call in-kind donations, businesses that have pledged equipment and hours of work to make the project happen. So we're doing right where we want to be right now. Obviously, we're doing a lot of door knocking on certain businesses and individuals that are very much involved in wanting the park to be built, and we're hoping that within the next month or so that we'll be able to be three-quarters of the way, and then it'll be a downhill slide to get to that $6 million. We're going to be starting the project, actually. Bids are being put together for the parking lot and also the building, the remodel in addition to those buildings, and those will go out in August, and we anticipate the work to be started on those two items by late September, early October. And so we are hoping, too, that when people start to see the actual park work being done, that more people will get on board to help us make this a successful donation thing.
What's the most costly part of the project?
That's a good question. The equipment itself is so specialized. Some of it ranges from $15,000 to all the way up to $65,000. The actual putting together the landscaping is quite expensive, too. So I don't know if there's one thing that really drives the price up, but there is seven different areas, and each of them we had figured for donations to the tune of around $250,000 for sponsorship of those zones. So I think the equipment probably in itself is the most expensive. But again, this equipment is something that you don't go to a store for and just pull off the shelf. This is all unique so that anybody with disabilities of any kind can utilize a merry-go-round or a swing kind of thing, or even we're having zip lines put in. And those are going to be exciting, unique parts of the park that, like Steve says, is something that nowhere in this country is going to be like.
Steve, you mentioned this idea earlier, but I mean, what is the city's typical budget for renovations of parks? Is there a schedule that parks are on to see some updates, or would these projects not be possible without funding from community groups?
Each 5 years, we do a five-year strategic plan. We take input from neighborhood associations, from council members, from residents. We do eyes on. You know, we just look at something and tell that it's old. And out of that, we develop a five-year capital program. That five-year capital program then goes into a budget process. We currently have $12.5 million worth of projects identified for 2019. The city will fund around $7 million of the total of over $100 million. So it's a long process. We have been fortunate. The mayor has set up neighborhood community money for neighborhood associations. Most of those neighborhood associations are putting most of that money toward a park improvement. So we just did Bluffside. We're getting ready to do Wagon. We're getting ready to do some parks on the north side. Powell was part of that. So those park projects create livable communities, livable neighborhoods. So they have value. But it's getting really difficult to compete against streets. So the reality is streets have got to be taken care of. And then there's looming programs out there, a new fire station. So we kind of go in spurts. We get great support. I would say that on a normal year, depending on the project, anywhere from $500,000 to $1.5 million, $2 million. But we incrementally build that fund up. Granddad's took 4 years. It's a little over a $2 million project. Black River Beach, same story. Started as a $40,000 restroom renovation on the beach. Got involved with the community, listened to what people had to say. It's over a $2 million project, but they just don't happen overnight. They take years to put into a process for each year you get a piece of the package in terms of the cost. This year we finished up a project in Copeland. You got a new splash pad. You're getting a new entrance to the ball diamond. We're getting ready to build another ball field. We're doing another park. So it's one of those things that if the community has the power, and they do, they can allocate the resources based upon the community needs. We're not even talking about the Blufflands, where we spend $250,000 right now a year on acquisition and development of the over 1,500 acres that are up there. We just completed a big project in the Hixson Forest. A new trail project's getting ready to open up in a month. So we have projects going on everywhere. And we're very, very fortunate. Like I said, the community supports us. We get grants. We get community development block grant money. Get TIF incremental money. So it's one of those things, you know, when you get to play in a play box and you got the chance to make it better, and it's your play box that you're going to play in, you do that. So my goal is to make this community better than when I got here. And sometimes I'm a little bullish, but I think the results are there.
How does the city of La Crosse's spending on park systems compare to other cities in Wisconsin or even in the region?
I think we're probably above average. Again, park projects are primarily predicated on the priority of it. So if you've got some fairly new parks, you're not going to be spending as much. As we've improved a lot of the parks here in the city, we'll begin to dwindle down on what we're spending on parks because we've done it already. And we designed to a 50-year standard. We don't buy cheap stuff. This is the taxpayer's dollar. We try to get the most opportune cost, but we also want the highest quality. Granddad's was built on a 50-year standard. We don't cut any grass up there. We don't maintain anything. It's all native plantings. Same thing in Riverside Park. The bandstand was a beautiful bandstand in 1932. It's had a project to add to the front of it probably 25 years ago, but nothing's been done. I think Terry's idea with his private group about a covering of some sort is important. Keeps the elements off of the stand itself. And I think we're fortunate that we even have it open this year. It is in really bad shape. But parks are relative to how old they are. So I don't know what Racine's doing. I kind of have a comparison to our sister cities, and we're above par on what's spent. But we have a greater need, I guess, is why.
So I know that the city has allocated, we mentioned $1 million for the bandstand renovation. Terry, I wonder if you could talk about where your group is at in fundraising for this band shell.
Well, we put together a budget that's a little bit aggressive because we like to budget and then come in under budget because it's private money. First look is $500,000 for our project. We have a little over $100,000 in hand, and we've not started our campaign yet till we get all the ducks in a row. Like Steve said, we can't go and ask somebody for something when we'd have nothing to really market. But we think part of this whole project includes new seating, which is going to be a huge enhancement to the park.
And we have that on hand.
So I think, like I said, I got to go through some things that I haven't experienced in the past. I'm just kind of been a doer, and now I've run into roadblocks. I'm not used to running into roadblocks. I'm not a big guy, but I go through the walls usually. because what we envision, to me, I mentioned it before, it's going to be a shining jewel. Your question, Hope, about parks, I think if you look at the quality of life in La Crosse, the parks are an integral part of that quality of life that people enjoy here. I know the shelters are booked all summer long, people using the shelters for family reunions, events. It makes La Crosse, I think, a unique city. I mean, I spent 20 years in Eau Claire, love Eau Claire. They've got great parks, but La Crosse is something special. We got Granddad's Bluff. Eau Claire doesn't have that. We have the Mississippi River. Eau Claire doesn't have that. We got a downtown that is like on fire, and that's what we build on. And people come to La Crosse. I mean, those people from Green Bay I spoke of, they're coming back. They had so much fun in La Crosse. I'm old, so I look at what legacy am I going to have when I leave, and I want Moon Tunes to live on maybe 50 plus years if we get more land in the park for bigger crowds.
That'd be longer than that.
Yeah.
But you'll be around that long.
And that's what I think I want to give back to the community because, you know, some people can do it financially. I can do it by time. I've got time and vision, and I see things that I think would be spectacular. And looking at Steve's projects already, he's got great vision. I mean, look what he's done for the community. It's
Yeah, Steve.
And again, this community, if people understood one thing about their park system, it's theirs. They own it. They're responsible for it. It changes the quality of life, and it makes living in La Crosse very special.
Is there additional cost to the city when these park projects are completed and then, you know, gifted to the city? Is there additional maintenance costs involved?
Well, of course. I mean, that comes with it, but you got to keep in mind that, let's talk about the fountain real quick. It's broke. Water mains are broke under the road. We're spending a fortune trying to keep it running. Same thing with the bandstand. I actually think it saves our community money to get these things fixed and restored because you're not dealing with a dilapidated structure. As an example, the parts in the fountain that I'm going to go have this meeting about, they're made out of PVC. They're plastic. This is not a place where you have water running through the ground in plastic pipes because of the freeze and thaw cycle. So, yeah, there's an additional cost. But, again, we design them to a low-maintenance standard. You know, you don't have to think too far about, you know, if you had a home and it's got a roof that's 25 years old, you got to fix it. Or start taking care of the water leaks, and that's going to cost money. So the maintenance and repair on the parks is important. But again, these parks have been around for a long time, and unfortunately there hasn't been a lot of preventive maintenance done. We have it with pools, we have it with playgrounds, we have it with ball fields. And it's time, since I've been here, I've been trying to get these things restored to a point where we can try to offset some of that high cost of maintenance and labor. But, yeah, there is a cost with anything we do. But the value far exceeds the cost. I mean, if you think cost is a factor that needs to be considered in terms of maintenance, well, then just get rid of the parks. Every one of them sit in prime real estate. The value of Riverside Park is $125 a square foot. That's a lot of money. And I'm sure there are a lot of corporations would love to buy that property and put a structure on it, like a building or a condo or a riverfront restaurant. But again, it's the value is not as expensive to me as the loss, because once they're gone, they're gone.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about two projects planned to update La Crosse parks. We're here with La Crosse Parks Director Steve Caroline, Terry Bauer from the Valley View Rotary Club, and Fran Fermanek from the Train Park All Abilities Park Project. Fran, you mentioned you used to be on the city council, and I just wonder, with your work in this All Abilities Park, how are you hoping that this park project might influence other park projects around the city?
Well, one of the things that the park is going to satisfy is not a want, it's a need. It's a need for us as stewards of our city and our parks to make sure that everybody has the chance to have a playground to play in. And I think, like Steve talked about, when this park is completed, it is going to be a national symbol of what the citizens of La Crosse and the area can do. I bought into this 3 years ago when I got on board as a member of the city council. And as I've worked through as president of the committee, I'm overwhelmed by the volunteers that are on our committee and the mission that we're trying to accomplish and that we will get done. I think the other parks that are in the city of La Crosse and in the surrounding area, I like to look at it as when I was in the fire department here in La Crosse. Most of the time when Big Brother did something, Little Brother copied it. And that was a real phrase that we used a lot of times in the fire department. And you could see it happening throughout our region. A lot of the things that are happening outside of the city boundaries in the fire service has come from within the city of La Crosse Fire Department. And that's a good thing because we are the leaders in the area for emergency services. So I think what will happen, when our project is completed, it will also bring more people from the surrounding area, and I think it's going to be a domino effect where other communities even in the city, state of Wisconsin will try to mirror that and trying to put their own together. One of the things that we found in our exploring of any other kind of parks that are out there, you may find something that might be inclusive of a playground with a few pieces of equipment that's right next to each other. But our project is so much different, so much unique, that you know it's going to be on 2.3 acres, which is a considerable amount of land when you look at it. If you go out there right now, it takes in all of the area from the shelter itself to 16th Street and from Chase Street all the way to a building that is on the north side, and it's huge. And if you go on our website, you can take a look at what the project is going to look like as far as the demographics and the diagram of where this equipment is going to be put and so forth and so on.
Terry, obviously the Bandshell project is still in the works and still in the planning stages. Has there been any concern that, you know, creating that structure might obstruct views to the river? I mean, that is obviously the main part of Riverside Park, and I wonder how you guys are balancing that concern. Yeah.
Well, the shelter itself would only be over the footprint of the bandstand. So the seating is not affected by the view. Really, it wouldn't affect any actual view of the river at any point. Like I mentioned earlier, as you come into the park right now, there's trees behind the bandstand. You really don't even see the bandstand. Plus, the trees add to the deterioration of the cement as it retains water and moisture. Those will all be taken out. The bandstand will be lit from the back. So as you drive in, it'll be nicely backlit with a shelter over the top. We plan on having lighting in the shelter that would be lit on LED lights that would turn off at 11 o'clock at night when the park closes. So it would be this glowing little lantern in the park, and I think people on the river will love it as they come down and see that glowing structure in the park. So I think it's not going to be a problem. We're looking at four phases. Phase one right now, Hope, is the bandstand repair restoration. Phase two would be adding the roof, the acoustical roof. Phase three, we'd like to do updated bathrooms and dressing room and storage space, because the basement will be gone in the bandstand. It's kind of a dungeon right now, not useful for anything. And then phase four would be some type of sunscreen over the seated area that would provide, with the lack of the trees that we cut down the last few years, there's not as much shade there anymore. And if you come to Moon Tunes, you'll see people are gravitating to the pockets of shade. So they're kind of spread out in the park today.
We've been talking with Terry Bauer, organizer of Moon Tunes and a member of the Valley View Rotary Club, Fran Romanek, president of the Train Park All Abilities Park Project, and Steve Caroline, parks director for the City of La Crosse, about two projects planned to update La Crosse area parks and what's next for the city. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.